Matthew 13. Hadn't the Lord been good to us? Well, you got my sinuses going real good and the Holy Ghost, and then put me up here to preach. I want to thank the Lord. 15 years now. 13 years, Liberty Baptist Church has gave us the gospel wagon. We call it a company car. It's the Lord's. I'm in 100.5 churches a year. I took a calculator and averaged out a 5-year span, and I'm in 100.5 churches a year. Somewhere there's a half a church that I preach at. And I think I know which there's like... I think I... y'all be seated. I'll pray in a minute, but... So Liberty Baptist Church is, you don't know everywhere you've been. You do not know. And I can't get up here and talk about it. I take too long out of the preaching time, but then I never say it like I feel it. But at the judgment seat of Christ, when we're lined up there and that fruit's lined up behind all of us, we'll thank you. We'll be able to properly thank you for giving us the company car to carry the gospel. The Lord's let me be in Thailand and Uganda and, of course, our Albania ministry and now Central America. Brother Caleb Williams is back here. He's our driver for the times that I need him, which is half the time. And y'all do not know everywhere you've been. But the Lord knows. I'm celebrating 25 years of full-time ministry. I was 21 and a little country church called me the pastor. I'm 46 now. But ministry years are like dog years. 1 year in the ministry is like 8 years of hard living. Help me right there. You know that's right. And 25 years, 33 years, the Lord's let me preach. I was 13 when the Lord called me. And I'm going to tell you this that's in my heart. What a blessing. Brother Ken Bowman. Now, let's just go ahead and give honor to where honor's due. And if you think I'm a flatterer, hang around with me couple of meetings, you'll figure it out pretty quick. But let's give honor to where honor due. The Lord's used Brother Ken Bowman in a lot of people's lives, and Sister Renee. And when we was praying for that family a while ago, and I was praying for that baby, so you got to understand that the Lord loves that family. It's His servant family, and they reap the benefits of the blessings, but they also reap the battles. And if you ever look over there and see some benefits of being the preacher's family, what you don't understand is the battles on the other side of that. And I'm going to tell you the way I was fitting here. I was raised in the ministry. Jonathan, I understand he preaches here, tries to, is what I hear. That's what somebody over there told me. There's six of us McNeese kids. And many of y'all know Jonathan well. And all six of us are in the full-time ministry. It's an amazing thing. And there's not a liberal in the bunch. I mean, Jonathan, you know, I don't know. But that's what he told me on the front row. Y'all have to tell him all this when you see him. It helps him. But out of us, 6 McNeese kids in full-time ministry. That's what I was thinking over here a while ago. I was 3 when Daddy sold out. And some of you are going to relate to this. I was raised and in the ministry. And there's people that love you. And then they're not there anymore. And there's churches that love you. And then they're not there anymore. And there's preachers that love you. And then they're not there anymore. I need y'all, are y'all hearing me? I'm sharing my heart. And I'm going to tell you the truth. And there's places that are in your heart. And then you're not there anymore. And I was raised on that. And the Lord gave us a friend in our ministry. I couldn't believe it. Up there at the tabernacle 13 years ago when that boy was born. And y'all, you burned the church note that night. It's all right to talk about a little church history, ain't it? By the way, the church that was given was able to burn the church note a couple of decades early. Y'all burned the note that night. He preached Galatians 6. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. And he told the choir to sing Amazing Grace. And then I heard a diesel engine and they pulled around there with a truck that was worth twice the trailer that me and Jennifer lived in. And I told her on the ride home, we're official rednecks now. Our truck's worth more than our trailer. Huh? And in my heart, though, there's that, I said, this will last a little while, then he won't be there. Because that's the way it is in a preacher's home. Y'all ain't helping me. And then when that one ran out, the diesel, they got another. And I said, oh, that's different. Usually they're not there anymore. Some of y'all are clueless what I'm talking about. I said, that's unusual because usually them people, they're just not there anymore. And we wore that one out and the third vehicle come. I said, now this is a strange man. And I finally figured out that nearly 20 years worth. I don't think he's going anywhere. That's why it's different. And I thank you for not changing. Because the things that are not, that I talked about, if you stay with the Lord, there are a few things that will always be there. And I've got some old friends, and I've had 10,000 friends come and go. But you know I've got a handful that are still there. And let's be honest about it, we're in the South. Preachers come and preachers go. But you know what? There's a handful of preachers that's... they've been there the whole time. Not everybody goes liberal and trades in the Bible for a bigger bunch. There'll be some that's done. And that's what was in my heart, Brother Ken. And we thank you. Our family thanks you. But the Lord thanks you. This thing's not about Brother Dean or Brother Ken, and we both know that. This thing's about somebody's got to get the gospel wagon and take that gospel. There's a half a church out there somewhere that needs it as much as them other 100 churches. And so we thank you for being the kind of place and the kind of people that's still there. Yeah, they're just still there. Yeah. Amen. Had this exact same spirit that we had this morning. It's been here from the first time I walked in here. Give you a little history how we got connected. I pastored in my 20s. 29, the Lord sent me out to preach, and 17 years on the road now. How old is this church? 21. Y'all were 5 years old when the Lord and Dana Williams and another well-known preacher both kept telling me in Florida, where I pastored in my 20s, they said, there's a guy. They would tell me. These two great preachers. And we'd all be down in Cocoa, Florida, and they'd say, and I'd throw a fit and squall and kick a pew sideways and tear up the service, and they'd say, there's a guy in Georgia. Y'all operate the same. You got to meet him. What that meant was, you're both crazy. And the Lord's done it. And I'm excited about God putting a wing over here, and then y'all just going to be able to fly. I'm working on another project for you, too. I'm going to mess you up when that one's done. Yeah, going up, going high. Amen. Need to back this up all the way up to there and go that way a little bit, and you can see everybody shoot out a little bit. Are y'all in Matthew 13? Just look at it. Now, Father, thank you for loving us and helping us. Touch us one more time in the Scriptures. And I'll thank you for it in Christ's name. All the Lord's people said, amen. I've been in Matthew 12. Excuse me. I was a little quick on you there, fella. I've been in Matthew 12 and Matthew 13 for about 3 months. And the Lord's given me about 4 messages in these passages that are very relevant to the hour that we live in. And don't you know that the Lord's coming soon? But I want to look today at one verse, one message. I'm going to preach about 30 minutes, and nobody said nothing about it, but I'm hungry. And I smelled something then. Matthew 13. The Bible says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Now, we'll take a 30 minutes of preaching right here and make it about 7 seconds. And here's what happened. In chapter 12, the Jews rejected Jesus. Go home and study it. And he went out of the house. Then his own family rejected him in the last several verses, verse 46 through 50. And so this reads like this. The same day went Jesus out of the house of the Jews and sat by the seaside of the Gentiles. It's a very dispensational book, Matthew is. That's why everybody tries to lose their salvation out here in the hollers and the hills. Everybody trying to lose their salvation. They'll always do it in Matthew or Hebrews, because those are filled with warnings to first century Jews. And you better jump in the middle of Paul's writings and get all that nailed down, and then you'll be able to understand when God is moving in the transition of dispensations. By the way, he turned from the Jews and turned to the Gentiles. The sea always represents in your scriptures the Gentile nations. You read it in Revelations. By the way, I'm of the opinion that right now, well, I'm of the belief that right now that God's dealing with nations. That's why you're not seeing many individuals saved. Because the fullness of the Gentiles, that ship's coming in, it's already bumped the dock, and they're tying the ropes and the walkways, that gangplank, the something, it's a coming down, and we're all lined up, and the first people stepping up, and hey, we're fixing to get out of here. Y'all ain't helping me. And he's dealing with nations. The first commission, Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And he's back with the nations. And when the Pope and the President stood under that arch, one in a black suit and one in a white gown, that great harlot of Revelation 17, you can't tell me there wasn't a ceremony, there wasn't a marriage taking place. And then went to the United Nations. Never had many world leaders gathered in one place in the history of mankind. First time ever. The Vatican flag was over the United Nations and the Palestinian flag. And then they all met behind closed doors, and the next day Russia and China, that bear locked elbows with that dragon, And they come into Iran, that wolf, and they're heading for that little Jewish nation. Can I get a witness right now? If you get confused on election, you better understand that usually applies to the Jew. That's the elect nation. Help me right there. And Hunted Netanyahu stared him down the other day. He's God's man and he don't even know it. Looked him in the eyeball. I don't think the Antichrist will know that he's Satan's man. And I don't think some of these others really know they're God's man. But I got news for you. That was probably that was a beast and a false prophet. Can I get a witness right there? And they all come out of them locked doors after the day after, and the bear coming out of the north, and the dragon, and the wolf, and there's that little old nation of Israel. Y'all ain't helping me. Now we're on the other side of what happened right here. He turned from the Jews, and he said, "All right, the elect rejected my son." And now we got plan B, which was really plan A. Plan B, which was really plan A. What are we going to do now? They didn't want to come and marry your son. He said, turn back around. Go out this time to the highways and hedges and just whoever you find, I don't care if they're strangers or orphans, if they're lame, they're blind, or they're crippled, whosoever will, let them come. And that was plan B, the grace of God. Turn to the Gentile. Now, you and I are 2,000 years later. And now he's withdrawn from them Gentiles for the same reason the Gentile nations have rejected him. They've heard, they've rejected. And now he's gone back into his own. Going to keep that covenant with Israel. Oh, and he's got another covenant that he's been making the last two. He's got a covenant with his bride. Amen. He's going to keep that too. Oh, my. It's a good hour to be saved. Well, verse 2 is your first missions movement. Great multitudes were gathered together. There's the drawing power on them Gentile nations. So he went into a ship. There's your first mission movement, fixing to get in that sea. And sat. The whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Now, that was Jesus. And there went the Lord Jesus. And he went forth to sow. And what I want to preach for the next 30 minutes, my 30 minutes starts now. It didn't start then. It starts now. It's commercials. The next, I want to preach on what Jesus found in the field. A sower went forth to sow. That'd be an amazing journey, wouldn't it? To go with him. Oh, well, you can go with him on this journey if you want to. And what Jesus found in the field. Now, he gave 7 parables, maybe more, in this chapter. And I'm going to give you all 7 in 7 minutes, and then preach just one of them to your hearts, because it's going to be very relevant, and you're going to actually be surprised at what you find in your own journey, in your own mission with the Lord. This brother from Kentucky, these preachers sitting here, Brother Ken and Brother Donnie, these men, somewhere in their past, they launched out and headed out into the deep, and what Jesus found in the field, I guarantee you they found the same thing. Some of you have been walking, you've been going with God a long time. I guarantee you found what they found. And if you'll give your life to the Lord this week and head out with God and go on this journey, you're going to run into the same things he ran into. Y'all want to see what these are? They're right here. 7 parables. 7 parables. That sower went forth to sow. Alright, I'm going to give you all 7. This is 7 sermons in 7 minutes. Don't tell my other friends I can do that or they'll be expecting little old short sermons all over the place. Number 1, the first parable. Verse 4. "When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, whereas they had not much earth. I'm in chapter 13, verse 5. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. I'm going to tell you the first thing the Lord found on this when he went into the field to labor. He found a triple threat. Three out of four went bad. Can I get a witness right there? Only one out of four brought forth fruit. We'll come back and preach that. Number two, in verse 24, I tell you the second thing that Jesus found in the field. He found some tares amongst the wheat. Look in verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares. What about that? Hey, he found tares in the wheat. Underline it where it said, but while men slept, his enemy came. Honey, the American church is in a deep slumber and a deep sleep. And the enemy's there sowing tares. The bride slept in the Song of Solomon, and she missed her midnight visitation of love. It was at a midnight hour, and she was asleep. She said, I put off my coat. How can I put it back on? Sound like a bunch of American Baptists. We got all the excuses in the world. When the Lord comes by to not rise up to meet him. Wouldn't it be some kind of week? This could be a revolutionary week for this church. Not just be another camp meeting that comes and goes. It could be a revolutionary week. If somebody will wake up and when the Lord puts his hand in by the door, honey, he'll reach out and grab his hand. Come in. Because she got up and he was already gone. Samson slept. And Delilah cut the locks of his hair and the power of God out of his life. He done lulled himself into a sleep thinking he could keep getting away with sin. Noah slept and woke up to a great immorality. The three disciples slept and missed the greatest prayer meeting that ever was. Jesus agonizing with his Father. What? What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Eutychus slept and fell out of church and it killed him. How many people you know get to sleep in this thing and fall out of church and it'll kill them? I'm glad there's a preacher willing to get down over Eutychus and restore him back to life. Help me right there. Trying not to chase no rabbits, but a fat one just went by. We need to catch this and put it in the pot. How come everybody loves the preacher when you're all on the bottom and needing to be restored, but 3 years later when you're doing fine and dandy, all of a sudden you're willing to find all the faults with the preacher and talk about it? Y'all ain't helping me right there. I know when the Holy Ghost nudges me, I need to hit that snake one more time. How come it was perfectly fine as the best feller you knew when you was over there in the house about to die, about to kill yourself, and this sweet church took you in and overlooked all your faults, loved on you real good, and now all of a sudden you got a burr under your saddle and you got all kind of bad things to say about the preacher and the church? Y'all ain't helping me. He found tares. That's quite a message, though. I'm not going to preach it. Verse 31, he found a tree. Verse 31, another parable pretty forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Which indeed, here comes a happy bubble. Here comes a happy bubble. Is the least of all seeds. It's the littlest thing in there. That mustard seed, that little grain of faith. But when it is grown, that right there is where I may run. That right there is where I may run. But when it is grown, it is the greatest. Can I get a witness right there? Let me tell you something. You was a mighty little thing when the Lord found you, but you wait until he gets done with this. And it becometh a tree. What about that? Oh, there's a message there. And then the birds of the air come and lodge in those branches. You know, we're going to hit this in a second, but back in back in chapter 13, we're still there, and back in verse 4, them seeds fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them up. Now, usually when you get these fowls in the Bible, you're dealing with demon spirits, evil spirits. And back yonder in the first parable, them devils will try to eat you. They'll eat your seed. But over here, if they can't eat you, they'll join you. And instead of eating your seed when it's beginning and nothing, pecking it off the ground, if they can't beat you, they'll join you. And right here then, if they can't do away with you when you're little, they'll come and join you when you're big. And if they can't beat you, they'll join you. In this case, if they can't eat you, they'll join you. And right there says I to Liberty Baptist Church, the devil couldn't kill y'all when you was down there a little storefront church and this and all of hell trying to fight y'all. He couldn't kill you when you was a little nothing. And so now, if he can't eat you, he'll join you. He'll come in here and just lodge in your branches. You watch out when you become great. When you become great, them devils will come and lodge in your branches. There's a tree. And then I'll tell you what he found. In this field, he found treachery. Look in verse 33, the next parable. The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. That leaven is always a corrupting, a fermenting, a decaying thing. Them 3 measures of meal. A woman, and many of them said that would be the Roman Catholic Church, the year 300. She took and put her leaven in the church, and now look, she's supposedly taken over the church, the Catholic Church. Catholic meaning universal. I was an hour and a half from him when he came to town. I was preaching right next to Washington, D.C. And if I could have got to him, I was going to run by real fast and knock that hat off his head. And just keep on going. But I couldn't get close enough. Brother David Phillips is preaching tonight, and he sent me a text. He knew I was up there, and he asked me a question about the Pope. I really can't share it with you right here Sunday morning. But he asked me the question, and I told him my plan. I wanted to run by real fast, knock that hat off his head. And he said, I shouldn't even tell this. He said, I want to come behind you with a rebel flag waving that thing right there. I was like, oh, Lord God. If we could have got close, hey, I want to go to jail at least one time for Jesus. You know it, at least one time. Oh my, here's this woman, and she took this leaven, and she's hid it. Now, I'm not preaching on this one this morning, but I'm going to tell you what you're going to find in the field. You're going to find a cunning, manipulative work in your home, in your church, hey, in your mind, slipping in that leaven. Till the whole thing's corrupted. Treachery. Well, let's get through these other ones now. In verse 44, it gets a little happy now. We're taking a happy turn. What Jesus found in the field. In verse 44, he found treasure. Yeah. I nearly high-fived myself just then. The kingdom of heaven likened to treasure hid in the field. The which, when a man hath found, he hideth. Things hid twice. That's amazing to me. Y'all go chew on that. There's some things hid out here that the Lord's got for you. And when you find it, you'll hide it. There's some things ought to be hid. Protected. And for joy thereof, if you've lost your joy, then we've lost you already. You're almost gone. The joy of the Lord, your strength. You don't get strength from having 100 likes on Facebook. You don't get strength from having a pile of money in the bank. That ain't where your strength. Your strength is not in your health. You can lose your health. Your strength is not in popularity. Your strength is not in that job security. Y'all help me right there. That strength comes from the Holy Ghost. Nehemiah 9, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you ever find some of God's treasure, you'll sell everything you have. You'll do crazy stuff like resign top positions at big companies to go mess with a bunch of Baptists in the South. It's crazy stuff. But you'll do it for joy. And you'll sell all you have for that treasure. Well, and then he found a trophy. Verse 46, whoo! There's that one pearl of great price. There's that one pearl of great price. My, my. Well, there's so much preaching. I guess this. And then at the end of this thing, there's a trial. Verse 47. Kingdom of heaven likened to a net. It's cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Boy, there's so much preaching right there. Y'all leave me alone. Ain't you glad Liberty Baptist Church, Brother Bowman, and Chigap, y'all thrown the net out? Can I tell you something about contemporary people and Calvinist people? Listen here. They have to quote men. Can't none of them quote the Bible. You'll see them on social media. Found some cute little quote. But that's all they can quote. Contemporaries are just like Calvinists. They ain't got no Bible. They just have to quote men who said something cute or smart or something. Well, I'm sorry. I ain't operating off the words of men. I'm operating off the Word of God. And you put a verse on social media and you ain't going to get no followers. That's boring. This bunch. Start a fight. I mean, that's fun. That is fun. You know that's fun. There's a trial. Verse 48. Isn't that beautiful? They took that net, cast it into the sea. That's them Gentile nations. And gathered of, here's a happy bubble, every kind. Ain't you glad he saves anybody? And when it was full, we're about to reach that fullness of the Gentiles. Verse 49, at the end of the world, and then there's going to be a trial. Hey, I'm not a living for men. I'm living for Jesus. And when I pastored with this philosophy. And as I preach revivals, it's with the same philosophy. I'm not preaching for men. I'm preaching for the judgment seat of Christ. I'll have to stand there and pass through the fire of His eyes. And whatever was from me or about me, it's going to be burned. But whatever was for Him and from Him and with Him, it's going to come out gold and silver. I'm living for the judgment. I'm not living for the moment. I'm not living for the crowd. I love my friends. God's gave me some. But I ain't living for them. They're helping me live. They're helping me live right, but I got news for you. There's a trial. Well, that's what Jesus found in the field. Let's come to that first and break it down. Let's break it down. We'll be eating in just a moment. If I stay hungry. I ain't worried about none of y'all. It's just me. It's a personal thing. I'm a little hungry. Watch this. He found a triple threat. When he sowed that seed, he found that it only one out of four would turn out right. Are you ready? Let's go through the first three real quick. What was wrong with that first one? Them fowls came. Them devils came. Them demons. They devoured them. Isn't that the language of 1 Peter 5? He's seeking to devour Satan as a roaring lion. Now, Brother Donnie, I saw something I'd never seen till this study. And you know, Matthew 13 never has opened up to me in 3 decades of studying. I've never jumped into these parables. This is the first time in my ministry the Lord showed me these parables. The only one, before we go to the next soul, the only one that the devils can get are the ones that are on the wayside. I need a little help right here. Never seen that. You ain't going to get them seed that's buried in the middle where they're supposed to be. The only ones that devils can get is people who got out of the path. Got out of the way. That good seed, I'm going to be there in a minute. Y'all are making me get ahead of myself. This is y'all's fault. That good seed falls into good ground. It's plowed, it's stuck down the ground and buried. The birds can't get it. The reason the devil is able to mess with half the people that he's messing with is because they're not buried. They're not broken and buried. They've not allowed God to break them up and bury them. And they're off of the wayside. I thought y'all would like that a little better than you are. Let's try it again. Get out of the will of God and He's able to just come and snatch you right up. You get people that get out of they get out of their church. They get out of the Bible. They get out of sorts with their preacher. They get out of the sermon. The devil's able to get folks who are on the wayside. Honey, he's come looking for me more than once, but God's got me buried under a pile of dirt somewhere. I'm down there whining and hollering and crying, why am I buried down here? It's all broke up. Well, honey, that's better than being over there out of the will of God where them devils are able to snap and devour. That seed won't never be nothing, honey, because somebody got out of the will of God. I always get pressed in my spirit at this church about this point in the sermon every time I'm here. Some of y'all are running from the call. See how quiet it got? That meant we hit the hammer on the head. Bam! We went right on the nail on the head. You think God put this much fire in a place not to be calling the young men that are in this fire? That's the only place preachers come from. They come out of a fire. And the only reason you wouldn't take joy in selling all you got and following Him is because you're hanging on to your old life, your old world. You're hanging on to carnal things and not surrendering to Him. God gave you a preacher that showed you how to walk away from Egypt and all that it has. There's 20 preachers in this, 20 young preachers in this church that are going to go and do something. We don't know who they are yet. They're sitting here. God's got plenty of fellas to keep Atlanta going. He needs some preachers. You can keep heading that way, making your money. Because we ain't going to go that way. Nobody wants to go to Alabama, not for a month or two. No. Them fowls can come and devour. Number two, triple threat. Not only you got devil spirits, here's the third one, shallow people. Verse 5, some fell upon stony places. Hard places. They sprung up, but because they had no deepness of earth. I'm in verse 6. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. Couldn't handle the heat. Because they had no root. Now, I wonder what that root problem is. It's being rooted and grounded in the Scriptures. Everybody look at verse 21. Yet hath he not root in himself. Jesus is breaking down this parable. But dureth for a while. For when, here it comes, tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the what? The Word. By and by, he's offended. Hey! You give me this crowd that's always getting offended, always getting their feelings hurt, and always leaving and quitting because they're offended. They got no root in himself. And it ain't a problem with people, it's a problem with the Word. It ain't a problem with the method or style, it's a problem with the Word. It ain't a problem with the preacher or the deacons, it's the Word. And they're always offended. That's how you can mock them. They're an offended people. They're always offended. Because they're shallow in the Scriptures. And did it not say no root within himself? That first problem came from the devils of the air. This problem come out of your own heart. You won't submit to the Word in your own heart. Third one out of this triple threat. Verse 7, the thorns sprung up and choked them. Okay, we got these blackbirds from hell. We got people with no root in their heart in the Scripture. They won't let it take root. It's a stony place. It's a hard heart. This third one is these thorns. Choke the Word. Wonder what thorns are. I'm reading verse 22. Is everybody still with me? He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And he becometh unfruitful. There it is. Hey, you're going to have to untangle yourself with the affairs of this life if you're going to please him who has chosen you to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus. And the deceitfulness of riches. There's a triple threat. Now, I come finally to the end. Verse 8. But others fell into good ground. I'm about to run. Glory. I'd swing off a chandelier if I could reach one. What makes good ground? But others fell into good ground. What makes it good ground? Three things, real quick. It's good ground because it's been broken up. It's been plowed. It's been prepared. Let's just stop and thank God for a minute for all the brokenness in our lives. I need a little help. About to run. Nearly shouted. That broken. Woo! He needs to be able to bury some eternal seed in you, and he's got to break you up to do it. Some of you young couples, why are we broke? Because he wants you broken. I'm not going to embarrass Brother Carl's kids. They're so precious. Old Drew. Isn't that something? The power of God on him. The call of God on him. It come with some brokenness, didn't it, Drew? I wouldn't embarrass you. Oh, sometimes a broken heart. I told his daddy, what's different about that boy? God's all over him. Oh, it's broken. This little baby we prayed for. I reckon God may just break all this up around here. I seen all y'all over there squalling and weeping and praying together. It looked like you're all broken up. Wonder if the Lord come by and drop some seed down in there and you're just wide open for it. He'll break your heart. He'll break your bank account. He'll break up your alliances. He'll break up every crutch you've ever got. He'll bust everything up. Because he wants to get in. And he wants in deep. It's broken ground. And then it's buried. I tell you why it's good ground. Stuff's buried in it. He'll put that seed down there and bury it. I'm about to run. That mustard seed. You remember the great promise in Matthew 17? If you had faith as a grain of... And then he said over here, we've already read it, it's the least. And then we're right here, got this seed going in. You know that promise that you shall say to this mountain, remove? They tell me that in the Mediterranean climates, you've got to take that mustard seed and it's buried 3 feet underground. And the mountain that it has to deal with is the 3 feet of dirt on top of it. That it's buried under. What do you think the mountain is that's got to be removed in your life? It's all of that dirt that's piled on top of you. Y'all ain't helping me. We're way down there, ain't we? Buried. And there's a lot of stuff on top of us. There's a lot of flesh. But that seed's powerful. It'll overcome that flesh after a while. And I'm not using this vulgar, Pastor, but there's a lot of hell. Hell will dump everything out on you. There's a lot of old sins in our past, and that old dirt just lays on you. Y'all ain't helping me. Some of you coming from a long way and you ain't never had nobody to help you. Old mom and daddy didn't even love you. You under there, way under. Oh, but they said that little mustard seed said the roots will go down looking for water and the shoots will come up looking for light. Because there's something powerful in that seed. I tell you why it's good ground. It's broken and it's buried. And honey, as half of you ain't gonna let God, you ain't gonna let God bury you. You call on everybody you can to keep from getting buried. But if He's ever gonna do something with you, He's gonna bury you. That's why we're Baptist. That baptism's a burial and a resurrection. It's buried ground, it's broken ground, and then it's bountiful. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I used to think that that was the providence of God. That who had 30-fold, who had 60-fold, who had 100-fold. I used to think that was all God's sovereignty. And it may be. It may be that He just gives one, two talents, another five, another 10. I don't know. But let's think about this. Jesus said, He that hath much will be given more, and to him that hath not will be taken away from him. I was over in South Georgia. I was down in South Georgia. And since Brother Phillips is going to be here tonight, he's going to come back up in the sermon again this morning. Brother David rode with me to a camp meeting down there, and we was loafing in the afternoon. He was drinking Starbucks because something's wrong with him. I was drinking McDonald's because I drink. The old Irish family has the best coffee. He's willing to pay $20 for a cup of coffee. Yeah, I'm going to get my senior citizen. McDonald. I tell them I'm 65. They don't know at the drive-thru till you get around. It's not a lie. It's just a good arrangement. And me and Brother David was going down and we saw a dairy farm. Third largest dairy farm in Georgia. I don't know anything about farming. Jonathan knows all that about hunting. David knows all about farming. I don't know much about nothing except straightening out Baptists. Some of them anyway, not all of them. You can't straighten everybody. Brother David said, man, let's go in there and look at them cats. Them dairy, that's the biggest dairy farm. And, of course, he's explaining the science of everything. I was about to hit him. He was getting on my nerves, telling me about him. He whooped up in there, and everybody began to scatter. They thought we was in that white Suburban, and David had on a necktie, and I had on a polo shirt. They thought we were from the state inspection. David got tickled. He said, this is going to be fun. He said, because I used to tell my workers, when you see a white vehicle pull up and a man in a tie, get lost. Run. Don't answer no questions. We may not get no penalties. So we had fun that day. I don't know if it's against the law to be an imposter of a state health inspector, but we were imposting. And we'd done decided he was the head man because he had on a tie, and I was going to be, my name was Rob. My first name is Robert, nobody. I was going to be Rob. And I was going to be the undergraduate study, and I got a clipboard out, and I was walking behind him. That was great. I was going to the University of Georgia. I had my whole background laid out. We walked all over that place. They hid from us. The main man came up in an $85,000 King Ranch, right, and he wouldn't even look at us. We were having too much fun. We got up there and there was a carousel. Great old big round thing. And Brother David said, "Look at here. All of them cows have a computer chip in them." I said, "They've already took the mark of the beast." They're going to be able to buy and sell during the tribulation, them stinking cows. He said, "They've all got a chip." And he said, are y'all listening? "When they stick their head under this feeding trough, it reads how much milk they've been given, and it dumps out according to what they've been given is what they're getting." I didn't say that good enough. Let's try it again. He said, "Them cows are all milked by machine." He said, "They walk up there, and according to how much they're given, that's how much they'll be getting." And the Lord, I wonder if we're 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, because we're keeping back some. And Brother David said, "That's all voluntary." Now, Brother Kid, I'm going to tell you something. Are y'all listening? I'm fixing to give an altar call in 45 seconds, but you listen to me. That suburban out there, about 30 of the United States, God has sent me to preach. Y'all put me in a company car. 5 continents now the Lord's let me preach on. We don't want to go to the Antarctica, and I'm against Australia. So, where'd that come from? And I'm not boasting. I hope people know me well enough. But I was 14-year-old and wrote my gospel track. Wrote my first gospel track. And I had a blue 10-speed. I went to every house in a 30-mile radius on a 10-speed in the foothills of the Smokies. Had my own little track written and printed. Rock of Ages did it for me. "Because We Cared" had a Bible on the front. And I just wanted people to get saved. There wasn't no love offering in it. There wasn't no company car in it. There wasn't no revival bookings in it. It's just burning in me. He died for me. He died for them. I can't get over the grace of God. I got to tell the rest of them. And I took my 10-speed and my little Bible track and told everybody I could. And the next time I stuck my head under the trough, more came out. Woo! By the way, and I'm just being personal today, I've had a company car for years. Daddy had 6 of us. We all had to make our own way. I never had a car until I was 21. Had to pay my own way through Bible school. Had a 10-speed. They stole it the first semester. Had it padlocked to a 2x4 inside a locked room. They got in the door and took a saw. Chain, 2x4, chain, 10-speed, gone. Me. I worked 2.5 jobs. Couldn't afford a car. Had to pay for the college. Didn't even have my 10-speed. I hitchhiked several times in Jacksonville, Florida, on the rough side. Ace Hardware on Edgewood Avenue. Put on my little red apron and go to hoofing it after 7 hours of classes. And I was a janitor at the Methodist Church and a night guard at the Episcopalian Church. You better believe I had some fun with that crowd. I was 21 and my cousin called me and she said, and I only saw her once a year at Christmas, she said, "The Lord told me to give you my car." We're 2 weeks apart. She's just a spirit-filled girl. And I just said, "Really? And 2 weeks later, that little church called me to pastor, and I had a car. And then they decided they'd buy me a car when I wore that one out. And then they bought another. And then I went into evangelism. And I'll be honest with you, the Lord just always had me in a company car.
Yes, sir.
Because I got on my 10-speed. Up down them hills. Back here in little houses nobody else could even find. Knock on the door with drunk moonshiners and dogs, and I was just a skinny kid. And I'd say, our church cares. My daddy's the preacher. And he'll tell you about Jesus if you come. And God in heaven said, put some more in that boy's trough. Now, don't think I'm giving myself glory because it didn't start with me. The Lord came where I was one night as a 13-year-old. I wasn't even looking for Him. Didn't even know who He was. Didn't even know what He was. He came and pulled me out of hell and gave me a big hug. And He ain't never let go. And I want to track because what Jesus did. What have you done because of what Jesus did? Come on, kids, come up and sing. Is that all right, Pastor? Come on up. I'm going to tell y'all something. This could be a revolutionary week. It's bountiful ground. Hey, you've seen people walk up on stage before. Look at here. When you stick your head on this altar, how much comes pouring back out? However much you've been given, that's how much you'll be getting. I want y'all to come pray.